Now, if you know me, you will know I am not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. For me, the pressure of starting something new in January has seen me fail over and over again. What I like to do instead is I like to give myself a little bit of time to settle into the year so I can actually figure out what goals I actually want to achieve. Now, one of my biggest goals this year is to be able to confidently speak in a new language, and this is something that I have been trialing and failing at, and also working at for a really, really long time. Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think about what you're wanting to achieve. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? Now, if you are like me, and one of your goals is to learn a new language, you absolutely need to get Babbel, and I'm so excited to chat to you about this. Now, in just a few weeks of using Babbel, I have progressed my language skills in ways that I have never done before. And I've been using Babbel's 10-minute lessons, which are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. What I love the most about Babbel is that it's designed by real people for real conversations. And I think this is something where I've gone wrong before. I have been learning French on and off since I was 9 years old. That is over a decade and a half now. Yet I still didn't feel confident in my communication. I was learning through textbooks, but I was actually lacking that human connection in my vocabulary. Babbel's courses have helped me to learn real-life conversation skills, to speak confidently and clearly in a way that locals will understand, as Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent too. It's enabled me to be able to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without ever having to consult my language app whilst on vacation. Now, studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Now, I actually have a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/proverbs. Now, you can get 60% off at babbel.com/proverbs, spelled babbel.com/proverbs. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hello, you are listening to Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. It is me, Daisy. Welcome. This is a podcast all about extraordinary people and extraordinary stories. Here we will shine the spotlight on their journeys and hopefully learn something about ourselves and the way that we live our lives from their experiences too. Join me for the next half an hour as we get to know our guest. Angel Long is joining us on this episode of the Proverbs podcast. She is a porn star who has starred in and directed countless shoots over the past few decades and shares her experiences doing so to break down the stigma whilst also educating us on the common misconceptions she faces. She is such a positive, empowering woman who teaches other young girls how to navigate the sex industry in a safe and consensual way, and she helps them to embrace being sexually liberated as opposed to feeling shamed. Here she is. Today we are speaking to porn star and director Angel Long. Angel, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks so much for doing this.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really excited, actually. A little nervous, but excited, so it's good.
It's all good. We're going to have a nice little chat. I'm sure we're going to find out a lot about each other as well. I guess I'll start off by asking a question that I'm sure different people have a lot of different answers to, which is, how did you get into your industry? Where did you start off?
I'm 40 now. No, that's a lie. I'm 41 now. I've had my birthday in November. I forgot. But yeah, I started when
the
I was about...
lockdown years don't count.
Oh my God, I know. It's been like crazy this last couple of years, hasn't it? But basically, I started when I was about 20. And I used to watch porn when I was sort of younger. Like, when I used to live at this house, rented a room off my friend, and I found all his porn and all of that. And I was like, and I was with someone, and I love fucking, like, you know, I was never very confident growing up. Like, I'm quite shy anyway, and don't particularly like pictures being taken of myself and all that sort of stuff. But I love to fuck, and I love the thought of people watching me. So I thought, well, why not give it a go? At the time, it was really hard to find out anything because obviously we didn't have social media. We didn't have, you know, we had emails and phone calls. Yeah. And so I found basically an advert in a contact magazine that said looking for models. So I printed some pictures off. I took some pictures on my little camera of me stood there naked or I think I was naked. Yeah, I must have been naked or topless or something, and got them printed off. So imagine how I felt when I went into the shop and I was like, can I take these, get these pictures printed?
And then
and actually sent a written letter off to the agent, and he phoned me back and was like, oh, are you interested? Let's do it. So, and that was sort of how I started. But I just loved the thought of fucking, like, I just liked fucking people, and the thought of people actually watching me, I suppose, didn't really come into it until I started to get people notice me once it had come out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was it, really. That was how I got into it.
Do you know what? I honestly think sometimes times were so much simpler without social media. I love these sort of stories. It was a very similar experience to me. I had social media around at the time when I entered into sort of TV and radio and stuff like that. But I really took sort of an old school approach where I just went down with a little letter and a picture of me. And right. I went down to I went down to the receptions of like Channel 4 and the BBC and I just handed it over like a little record. I was going to a record label, and honestly I think like those are some of the best ways to get noticed even now today, because it really shows that drive and determination. But that is a really, really great story. I also found that once you enter into an industry and you've sort of seen behind the curtain, you can almost never look at it the same. I know you sort of said that you enjoyed watching porn before you actually got into it. Did your attitudes towards the porn industry change from what you knew beforehand without being in it?
I didn't watch porn for years, like when I got into it. And I probably haven't really, I've only just started watching porn again properly. And like my porn watching skill, what I like to watch is completely different to what I do. I think it's because I know what happens. I know that I can look at a scene and I'm like, oh yeah, they cut there. Oh yeah, the guy's having problems getting wood, or, you know, I can't look at it for what it actually is, which is what, you know, everyone wants to watch it for. So I find that I have to watch stuff that I'm not doing or not filming or not producing. But I mean, I didn't watch porn for years after. Yeah, at all,
it's so
really.
Funny. That's the way sometimes, once you see what's going on behind the scenes, it just changes your perception forever. Yeah. Angel, I have to ask you as well, because you in particular have a great stage name. How do people come up with stage names, or how did you come up with yours?
Oh God, yeah. If I'm honest, if I'd actually known that I was going to do it for as long as I've done it, or, you know, or get a career as I have, I probably wouldn't have chosen Angel, because at the time Angel was like a really popular name, but I just loved the name. I was like, oh, I want to be called Angel. Like, I mean, obviously my name's Sarah in real life, you know, I don't hide it. When I first started to do porn, I think I actually came in as Sarah. I don't think I'd had a stage name. I don't think it was until I sort of went to America that I actually was like, oh, I want to get a stage name. And Long just came because I'm very tall and I have long legs. That is the simple answer. Like, there's no, you know, Angel's not a great name, is it really? I mean, at the time, like 15 years ago, it was so popular, like in the porn industry. Do you know what I mean? you weren't original at all.
But I think the two fit well together.
Yeah, I think it does work for me. Do you know what I mean? But I just liked the name Angel. That was it. And then Long obviously literally came because I was so tall. But like I said, I mean, when I first started, I was Sarah. I only did sort of 20 films or 10 like a television series as Sarah, so I've sort of been Angel for like 20 years, and I don't get offended by it because I don't like hide what my name is. But I kind of think, well, you don't know me as Angel, because Angel's the porn star and then Sarah's the homegirl, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And I guess sometimes it's nice to sort of have that difference as well. It's nice to have something that is sort of personal to you and the people that know you as well. And
yeah,
no, I get that. I get that for sure. And then the rest was it history for Angel Long.
Yeah,
I think it's a good name. Rest. I think it stuck. No, it's good. What would you say is the biggest misconception about you or about the porn industry?
Everyone is just fucking everyone. That you turn up on set and the cameraman's getting a blowjob, you know, all of that. I think they just think that we're just shagging anyone. And I think the biggest misconception anyone would have of me as such is the fact that they think that that I am shagging everyone and that like, you know, and I'm married now. I'm not really into going out and shagging, you know, I don't cheat on my husband. So I just think people have this misconception of that we just all having sex all the time, which isn't, and it's really seedy and it's really not that seedy. You know, at the end of the day, we get tested every, I mean, now it's every 2 weeks if you're working in, for a professional company. I mean, most of the time it's monthly. If you're shooting content, so you pick up any STD like so quickly. But how many people go and shag at the weekend and get pissed and don't use a condom? Do you know what I mean? Like, we're probably the safer than a hell of a lot of other people.
Yeah. I think people really don't understand that this is a profession. You're doing this, you know, this is all run business. Professionally. It's a business and it's done safely as well. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, exactly. Exactly.
What would you say a day in your work life is like? So run me through what a schedule for you looks like if it's the day of a shoot.
Oh, if it's the day of the shoot. So I'd get up early in the morning. I'm a bit of an early morning riser, not naturally early getting up, but I'd get up early. I'd take my dogs I've got two bulldogs. I'd take them for a walk. I'd have everything. I like to have everything organized the day before. So everything would be packed ready. Obviously if I'm shooting, then I'd have to do my makeup, get all my clothes ready and stuff. And then we'd drive to wherever it is. If it's where I'm directing, the talent would turn up on set. You would talk about what you're doing, sort of consensual stuff. Because obviously you've got to get consent from everyone if it's a rougher scene. And then we'd shoot Pretty Girls, which is where you take some glamour pictures of girls. And then you take some hardcore shots of the whatever action it is, whether it be boy, girl, girl, girl. And then you would go into a sex scene. If you're shooting for a television company in England, you just have to shoot soft and hard. So you would normally shoot the hardcore scene first, and then everyone would have to get dressed. And you would shoot a softcore scene, which is where you can't see anything. Okay. You're actually sort of shagging, but we can't see any dick or any penetration or anything like that. And then you have the cum shot. Talent, you pay the talent. They obviously go home, and then you have to do all the cleanup and clear up of everything that's, you know, to put the set back to how it was. And then you go home. And then you even decide, that's what I mean. I don't think people realize how long the day is, you know. And it's all work sort of the whole day, really. You're not sort of like, you know, you obviously have lunch and things like that, but it is a hard day, definitely. And then obviously when you go home, you then have to like sort all the content out. The next day is all about the editing, which could take, I mean, we shot for Evil Angel in America. So we went there last, bloody COVID, trying to work out when it was, 2020. And I shot two movies for Evil Angel, which is I was filming. So it was like my POV. So I was interacting with the girls, and then the guy would come in, and then I'd still interact with the girls, and then the guy would be shagging them and stuff, because I don't do boy girl anymore. I do, especially when I'm directing. But then we'd go home and we'd have to do all the editing, and that could take, it depends. If it's a good scene, and it's I think it's good when I'm directing and I'm filming, because I can kind of move the scene how I want it to go. Because my style is very much talking to the talent in the actual scene. So you hear my voice the whole time. And obviously I'm sort of touching the girls up, so I can direct it how I want it to go. So it sort of flows. So when I know, okay, well, we've got enough of this, you know, I can flow them into some other position. So it's a lot easier to edit than if we're doing a Television X series where it's like, two performers and we're just sort of cameramen filming the action. And especially when it's got two cameras because you have to edit them together.
I think it's so great that you moved into directing as well. Did you think that that is something that you would ever get into?
When I first started, I obviously used to look at the free view and you'd see the names come up on the TV. And I used to be like, oh, I'd love to have my name come up on there. Like, I would love to have
in
my
the
name.
Credits.
Yeah, or not even that, because like I said, a lot of stuff I shot was like Angel Long's whatever it is, because obviously they use my name as a sort of a, to get people to watch it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like, oh, I'm so excited right now. Can you tell?
I'm loving having this conversation. Down. This is so good. No, I feel like we're on the same energy.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, I always wanted my name to come up in the like on the television so that they could see it, so that anyone and everyone could see my name coming up, Angel Long's World of Filth or whatever it's called. So I always wanted to do that. But yeah, when I got into the industry, I literally had no idea how to use a computer. I sort of had a mobile phone, but it, I mean, we, like I said, we didn't have really have social media. I think MySpace was about, but it wasn't, I wasn't really on it and stuff. So I've taught myself so much, like taught myself how to film, how to like put the lights up, you know, how to take pictures, how to do all of this. So then to have the achievement of actually getting a series and actually producing it myself and, you know, all the way through from the idea to filming it, to like editing it, to like it going out on TV, because we have to quality check it and everything. Like, it was such a massive achievement that I was like, you know what? I want to fucking do this. Like, I loved
good
it.
Good on you. That is amazing. It's so amazing to find things that get you up in the morning and find hidden things within your industry that you end up really enjoying. And I think, no, it's a testament to your hard work. You've done really, really well.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I've not directed like fuck loads. I think I've done 10 series for Television X and then 4 movies for Evil Angel. I mean, my love for directing is the Evil Angel kind of like filth, because, you know, it's me talking, me film, you know, me interacting with the girls. Like, I really, really enjoy that kind of dynamic, I suppose it is.
Angel, how do you deal with getting recognised? Do you get recognised often?
I think I used to get recognised a lot more when I was a lot more active on the channels. I mean, I only really work for myself now, which is obviously the OnlyFans and stuff. Mm-hmm. I used to always get recognised in Birmingham. Like, I couldn't go
really?
Out. And, yeah, it was really...
How funny. Like,
yeah, if I ever went to Birmingham, you knew that you would get recognised, you know.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Very strange. I mean, I do get recognised. Now, I would much rather people come and say hey than like stare and talk to their friends and like, you know. Like, we went to view a car the other day and my husband had gone in the day before to look at the car, look at a different car. And then we were like, oh, we'll go and look at this car. And the guy come over and like when he walked away, he kind of looked back and I happened to be looking. I was like, oh, I think they know. And then they were chatting to all their friends, you know, in the like, you know, well, all the other workers kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, they definitely know. Because you can just tell, you can just know. And then as soon as we got in for the test drive, he's like, oh, so what do you guys film then? You know, but I'd rather they just say something than, you know, talk behind your back. But
it creates an uncomfortable atmosphere, yeah, right?
I kind of just go, well, you know, at the end of the day, I enjoy people watching my stuff, so it's kind of cool that like they do realize who I am in a way, you know.
Yeah, you're proud of what you put out anyway, so
yeah, you know, I'm not ashamed of what I do, and I'm not bothered about people knowing, if you know what I mean. I don't care about what people say or do, or, you know, like, so I think it's kind of cool. I'm like, yeah, man, you've wanked loads to me, haven't you? Fucking hope you wanked hard. And that's what I say. That's what I'm like. I'm like, yeah. I hope you've wanked hard, you know?
Yeah. Angel, you've got so much experience. What would you say if there is a singular moment? What has been one of your most memorable shoots that you've done?
When I got the, different for being a performer and being a director. I think for me, I mean, I won an award in back in 2022, for an AVN award, which is pretty fucking cool. For like a best group sex scene and stuff, which was like me and two guys doing a DP, which is like double penetration. That was pretty cool. I just think moving into directing, I think that was just like, fuck yes, that, you know, and getting the evil gig, approaching them and saying, oh, you know, I'm interested because of my anxiety and how it affects me. I'm not very good at, I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. Oh, you know, I don't want to email them. I don't want to speak to them, you know, and I kind of stopped myself for a little bit. There was a couple of years where I just webcammed and I didn't really produce or whatever, because I was, my anxiety was so high that I just couldn't deal with, like, oh God, you know, there was no way I could have done this kind of conversation, you know? So I think actually getting the evil gig and producing something, I mean, the first DVD we shot for them, they're like, oh yeah, it was really good, but you know, you could have done this and this, and that was a bit like, oh God, I don't like being criticized, but I learned from it, which was good. And now, like I say, like when I went there in January 2020 and I shot like Angela White and like Joanna Angel and Lexi Law, like that, I think that was cool. That was like, I'm so proud of that. I mean, I don't think any English director has shot for evil, like as a director, really. So that was a fucking big achievement.
That's amazing. That is so amazing. And it's so nice to look back. And I think sometimes, you know, you can get yourself in these situations. I really suffer with imposter syndrome, especially when I'm stepping into something new. You're constantly questioning yourself. And I'm so bad at criticizing myself and putting my own work down that when someone else criticizes me, it's like, oh God,
it's awful, like the worst thing in the world. You're like, oh my God.
No. I know.
Especially when you thought it was really good.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
Because it takes such a long time for me to, it takes a lot for me to notice the good in my own work. So when someone turns around and maybe points out some of its flaws, the world sort of falls apart then. But then, you know, the silver lining is constructive criticism is a good thing and you can obviously grow and learn from it. But that has definitely been a process that I've had to go through.
I think it's because for me, like I'd obviously we'd shot all the television stuff. And it had always like, I've always had, I mean, it was always really good, you know, not blowing my own trumpet. I don't mean that, but you know, like I never really had any criticism because they were just like, they really, you know, we could shoot soft and hard. We could edit stuff. They never had to check any. I mean, obviously they do check it because it goes on TV and it'll cost them a lot of fucking money if like we happen to slip a tiny bit of dick in or something. But like I never really got a lot of criticism from them because they were like, oh my God, it's amazing kind of thing. And they always knew, okay, well, we want a really good series, go to Angel and her husband because they produce really good stuff. So to get the criticism, I was like, but John Stagliano is like the king of like gonzo, like, you know, so to get it from him, you kind of like go, okay, yeah, cool. I accept what you've said is true and I can improve it through here, you know.
Continuing the conversation on Proverbs after this short break.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
How has it been as well, sharing your experiences and using social media as well, just to talk about your career? What has that been like for you?
I'm a little bit bad with social media at the moment. I kind of had some sort of time off it.
Which I think sometimes is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm sort of now back on it. I mean, it has helped. I mean, but the thing is, though, I grew up in the, like, I mean, Pornhub come out a few years later, didn't it? I think a lot of social media, there's a lot of freeloaders for our industry. They just want free stuff. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I probably don't use it to my advantage. I think I was addicted to social media a few years ago. Like I would like put everything and anything on there. Not anything, I mean, but everything, my whole life on there. And it kind of took it away. But I think there was a time when porn sort of, I was really like, I was just Angel, if you know what I mean. Whereas now I'm very much Sarah and Angel. Mm-hmm. So I do have my time at home, which is me being normal, if you know what I mean. So I probably don't use it to my advantage is the answer, really. It has helped me in the past. Right now, I don't think it's necessarily working for me. But I think that's because I kind of stopped on it for so long. So I'm just trying to build it back up, really, now.
Yeah, I think it is good to take a break sometimes, for sure. And I get what you mean about the freeloading. It can be very difficult, again, when you're working in the creative industry to really, you know, demand a price and stick to it, because, you know, people are wanting other people to do stuff for free or for mates rates all the time. And it's about, you know, respecting the amount of work that you put in and the work that you've done over the years to build yourself up into that position. And I think social media is really toxic in that way sometimes, especially when it comes to work and employment as well.
I
mean,
I have to admit, though, I've never, touch wood, I've never really had sort of really bad experiences with social media. I know some people get trolled, like, you know, I don't understand trolls. Like, I don't understand, like, what they get out of being keyboard warriors at home. I do know that when I first started, because obviously when I first started in the industry, I was blonde, really fucking skinny. Like, I look back on it, I'm like, oh my God, I look so skinny. And I've got no boobs or whatever. And I had 3 shit tattoos. So when I sort of 10 years ago, I was like, you know what? And I never changed myself because I felt that I had to be this way because that's what the porn industry knew me as. And like, oh, if I started to change my look and all of that, you know, they might not like it and they might not follow me. And sort of the day I decided to actually be me, I mean, I'm a lot heavier tattooed now. I've got my head shaved on one side, you know, bright color hair and stuff. I got so much crap from people when I decided to change. Like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be changing. You should be staying the way you are. You know, like, you know, no one's going to wank to you, which is obviously at the end of the day, I have to have people wanking to me because that's what pays my bills. Yeah. So it took a long time and I did get a lot of trolls then and on forums, because I mean, that's how people like talked about porn then. It wasn't necessarily... there was just loads of little forums around like, because it wasn't really the internet. I mean you didn't get free porn and you didn't get all of this, but I just kind of thought, well, you know what, I just want to be me, and I'm a lot more comfortable in myself now, and I think I gained a lot more fans, like new fans. And then the way I looked at it was, well, I haven't changed who I am, I've just changed my looks. If you like me and like my stuff, you'll come with me. If you don't, then that's fine. You know, variety is the spice of life at the end of the day.
Trolling online and hating online is such a sad, strange mentality to me. I also think as well, it gives people a sense of ownership over who you are and your life as well. People are so invested in what people are doing in their personal lives, and they feel as though they own a part of you. And so when you step outside their expectation of you or your life, they don't like it. It's just, I don't understand how we've got to a position in society where we feel it's okay to comment on certain things.
It's crazy, isn't it, really?
People are doing. I know. It's just, it's really, really sad. But I think the more that we push back against that, like, as you said, you know, you were doing this for you to make yourself feel better. And that's the most important thing. I think, the more that we push back against that, I think, the less, I guess, those sort of people win and get their way. It's very, very weird. Very strange. What advice would you give, Angel, to people that are starting out in the porn industry?
Just make sure it's what you really want to do at the end of the day, because, you know, I mean, I know people that have done it, like this was years ago, people going, oh, I haven't told my family, or I haven't told. And I'm like, obviously it's a lot easier to find things out now because of social media. When, like I said, when I first started, there wasn't social media. The only way they could get hold of me is if they had my email address. Do you know what I mean? And that was it. Hence the forums, because they could like chat and stuff. And I could never understand people not telling their families or whoever it is, because someone will see it and someone will, because I mean, I suppose it is the equivalent of a troll, isn't it? Really, like going, I mean, when I started, I did tell my mum, and my dad lives in Canada, and I did tell him, you know, and all of that. But sort of about 3 months after I told my mum, someone went up to my mum, was like, oh, I see, you know, I know what your Sarah's doing, kind of thing. But she already knew. So people will always know. So I just think you just need to make sure that, like, you really want to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different business between the pro porn industry and an OnlyFans industry. I mean, you can do it all yourself now. You don't have to. If you don't want to, you don't have to do mainstream porn. You know, you can... You've got your, you know, an iPhone is an amazing camera now, isn't it? At the end of the day, and you can run your own stuff all on OnlyFans or, you know, or any of the platforms that are out there, and you can make your own money, and then you can yourself how you want to market yourself, put out what you want to put out. So I just think it's just something that you just need to think about, because it's always going to be there.
Yeah, like I think that's a really good bit of advice. I really do. I think being completely comfortable in your decision as well is a really important thing, because, you know, it's a part of your life and you should feel comfortable. You should at least be able to share that with the people that you love or the people that are close to you, and not be ashamed in that decision either.
If you're ashamed of it, then you don't want to be doing it. Do you know what I mean? Because it will just fuck with your head, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't do something and then have loads of people watch it and then go, oh my God, I don't want to do it anymore, you know? I mean, I know things change, like, you know, people will come into the industry and leave, or people stay forever, do you know what I mean? But I do, yeah, I just think you just need to be comfortable with it and just realise that once it's, you know, once your pussy's out there with your face out there, it's out there, kind of thing.
Yeah. There you go.
And save your money, like, because, you know, you can make an all right money. So just save it, really.
Yeah, I think it's good that, you know, people are able to do this as well, as you said, from the comfort of their own home. We have one of the best cameras available in our hands 24/7, which is on the back of your iPhone. And it, I guess, gives people a sense of control, being able to control, as you said, what they're putting out there and what sort of image they want to portray and how they want to come across, which is a good thing as well. There's benefits in that. Mm. Would you say that attitudes towards sex and the porn industry are changing or have changed over the years since you first started?
Good question. I think it's slightly more acceptable now, because the younger generation seem to be a lot more open about things, you know, even mental health, sex, everything. They seem to be just a lot more open about everything, so that's more acceptable. You're still going to get all the old people though, aren't you, like, older than my generation, kind of thing, who still look down on you. And but I think we're still very prudish in England. Like,
we are, I think England in particular as well. I'm sure you traveled a lot for your work, and I'm sure there are differences depending on where you're at, but I think England, we are still very sort of stiff upper lip, let's not talk about certain things, which I think is really sad, and I think is really damaging as well.
I think it definitely has changed, like, since I was, you know, younger and in the industry, but it's a lot more open, isn't it, now, like, with so like, I know I go on and on, I'm just repeating myself, you know, social media, but it is so different now compared to 20 years ago. Like, you know, you would only know, the only reason someone would know about me is because they've watched me on an adult channel, a TV adult channel, or on a DVD, they've gone into a shop and actually bought a DVD. Now, going to Pornhub, you can just look, you know, search anything. So it's a lot easier for people to see it. I still think that people look down on people that do porn. I do think that they don't see it as the business. They see it as, oh, well, you just have sex. Mm. You know, they don't see all the bits that you do to actually, the sex is the little bit of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Everything else that goes with it is, there's so much that goes with it that you have to do. It's not about just, you don't just go and have sex and you make money. Like, God, it'd be so easy if it was like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Pro scenes where you go and you get paid per scene. Yeah, that is kind of like, but it's still so mentally draining on your body. Do people realize? I mean, I don't even think I could go and do a pro scene now. I could because I'm, you know, it's kind of like muscle memory and all that. But the next day, I would be in bits, like, because you have to pose right. You have to. It's not just about sex, like. You have to get in the right angles. You have to think about the camera. You have to, you know, you have to do all the pretty girl photos. You have to pose right and stuff. So I know I've gone all way off the like topic of what you asked me.
No, but I think you've opened up another, you know, good point, which is I think when people are narrow-minded or closed-minded or have made up their mind about a topic or a situation or a form of employment without asking questions or without investigating and finding out for themselves, they're not asking the questions that ultimately would change their opinion. And I think it's so true, but it's good to see that there is sort of some sort of a change, especially with that younger generation of just being more accepting and more understanding.
I do think it's a huge change, if I'm honest. Like of just accepting it. I mean, there's so many girls doing the OnlyFans and everything. And do you know that some of these OnlyFans girls, you wouldn't actually know them at all unless they're you're on their OnlyFans. You wouldn't actually even know they did it because, you know, it's not like doing a pro scene and going on Pornhub. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a very different business. The girls that are doing their own platforms. I mean, OnlyFans is just... it's changed the whole market, really, if I'm honest with you, which is good, you know, because we are in control of our own, you know, our own destiny rather than having to. I mean, I found it really hard when I used to work because I wasn't massive boobs, because I wasn't your typical. I never wanted to be a model. Do you know what I mean? I wanted to fuck. That was a thing. I never wanted to be a model, and I wouldn't call myself a model at all because doing pictures. Oh, my God, it's so bad. Whereas now I can do them on my own, then you only put out the ones you want. But like of the pictures, the pictures I took for Pretty Girls, I'm like, oh my God, look at me. I look at them, I'm just like, fucking hell. you know, whereas girls nowadays, or people, not girls, everyone, you know, it's just so much easier. It's, you know, everyone's got Instagram and everyone's like, you know, they love putting pictures out of themselves, don't they? It's very different. So it's, you know, I don't know.
It is nice to have that control over your own content and the stuff that you're putting out, for sure. Angel, I'll ask you the final question, which is the same question that we ask at the end of every episode, which is about your mantra for life. What is your mantra for life, if you have one? Or what is the thing that gets you up in the mornings and keeps you going?
I just want to be happy. Do you know what? I know everyone always says that, don't they? They're just like, I just think right now I am so contented in my own brain, which is I'm the most contented I've ever really been at the moment. And I think it's just because I'm just doing things simple. Like I only do things that I want to do. You know, I'm really into sort of fitness. And I do realize when I don't do my fitness, I'm a moody ass cow. So I just think I just wake up in the morning, you know, like I want to take my dogs out. I want to do what I want to do for the day. I just want to go to the gym and I just want to be happy. And I think that's what it is just finding happiness in yourself and learning that you don't have to please everyone. I think, you know, like
that is a really powerful thing when you've got a hold of that, of being content, you know, with your own, I guess, with your own pleasure and with your own opinions and with yourself. That is a really powerful thing. I think over the past 2 years, since, you know, the start of the pandemic, it's been hard for a lot of people. But I think one of the greatest things that have come out of it is us all getting to know ourselves so much better and learning to sort of balance that work life situation where people are enjoying the simpler things now, whether it be hanging out with family or, as you said, walking the dog or getting to know what you actually like and the things that get you out of bed and keep you going and keep you happy. I think that's been a real, real positive that I've seen, and people have changed their lives in ways that I don't think they ever would have done so before if we hadn't been forced into a situation where we had to slow things down. But happiness is the key to everything, for sure. Mm-hmm. So that's a really, really good one.
Definitely.
Thank you for that. Angel, this has been so great. I knew I was going to enjoy this one. You're such a great girl, honestly. It's been so nice chatting to you. I know you've got a podcast as well. Where can people find you? Where can we listen? Ooh. When do episodes drop?
How exciting is this? I'm like, oh my God, this is the first podcast I've ever done with anyone else as well. So I'm like, oh. My podcast is called The Angel Long Podcast. I've got about 35 episodes now, quite a lot of episodes. Basically what it is the reason I started it was because of my social anxiety and the fact that I have cystic fibrosis. So when the first lockdown came in, I literally was so scared of everything. I was like, oh my God, and I didn't leave the house and I didn't do this. And, you know, and I don't really speak to a lot of people on the phone because I hate the phones. Like, I can't talk to people. So I was like, I said to my husband, I was a little bit worried about going back out and shooting and actually being able to talk to people, because I find that quite hard. So I was like, you know what? And I was doing my Zwift on my bike in my house, and I started to listen to podcasts, and I'd never really listened to them before. And I thought, you know what? I want to fucking do this. And I thought it'd be a really good way of helping my anxiety, because I can talk about porn. Obviously my podcast is about porn, but I felt that I would be comfortable talking to people about porn, and I just felt that it was like it would get me back into talking to people after, you know, being in the house for like fuck knows how long it was and all of that. So literally the idea came from listening to the podcast and thinking this would be good. I did one for my OnlyFans, just a little recording. I was like, you know what? This is cool as fuck. I'm going to do it. So what I do, my podcast is about porn, my life in general, but also chatting with other porn performers. Or I've also done a sex toy company. I've also done the lady that owned Television X adult channel. And then I've interviewed about 30 porn stars. So it's just, you know, and it's just like this, just chatting with them, different things, and then whatever comes up kind of thing. They drop every Sunday.
Oh, that's amazing. We love a bit of exposure therapy as well. When it's done right, it can have some great benefits. And I'm glad that it helped you as well. Because it is tough out there. It is really, really tough out there. But it sounds great. So go and give it a listen. Thank you so much, Angel, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I had so much fun. I loved it.
And that concludes this episode of Proverbs with Daisy Maskell. That is me. I hope you enjoyed it. Hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes, and I will see you soon.